tired. It's no more an issue around South Delhi. It's a national issue. So we felt that it is important that the government will come and take us through. But it's not going only to end up here in you taking us through. We will still need arises physically go and we are requesting that as we request to all provinces that we appreciate if provinces can really be open and frank with us so that we see where we can then ensure that the department come in the room. Mental health is a challenge in the sector. You know that it has always been, other than saying it's a stepchild of the sector, but it's quite a complex sickness. I always say nobody can be confident here that he is not bothering in whatever, because there's a very thin line between sanity and insanity. People always think when you say that you are, those that did psychiatry always say that we're all mad, we deformed the degrees of madness. So when we were still at the college, we used to, and they said, no, this is true. Nobody can ever. But what is important is that how then do we ensure that we put systems in place where they can then be, and empower communities in terms of understanding that mental health is just like any other illness. I'm saying that because in my family we've got a son who's bipolar, who's completely refusing to take treatment. And he tells me in my face that, Lalel, I've been taking this, they are here, that's why I didn't take them for 2 months because they're in my system. And my in-laws don't understand when I tell them that it's very intelligent. They're very manipulative. They're very intelligent. But I was watching TV one day. There was one guy who said I was refusing to take treatment. And the doctor was also in the program. Said, that's what they do. And I said, my husband, it's not because of so. But that becomes a challenge to the family because everybody is being affected because he's so it's really a sickness that is a challenge. On a lighter note, I always said when I was still working, I said I don't care if I'm paid R1 million a month to work in that environment because it's an environment that is quite challenging. For those of us that are former health workers that have been in the conference of the health, they will understand. So we then said that because we're all taken aback, we said it's our responsibility to have an understanding. So that is why you are here. MEC, I in my interaction with you, I understood your other challenge in your other area of deployment. But thank you for really coming, and my apology or may have disturbed you, but fine. We talked about that at some point. We have got, and that is the welcome to all our members. We will do the normal thing, just quick introduction for the benefit of those that may not know me. I'm Lindela Dunjwa, I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me, on my left, is Ms. Natalamba, the secretary to the committee. At the back is Lindo Kuhle, who's our content advisor. Extreme, again in the back, is Moses, who's part of the research unit at Mbali, who's our committee assistant. Members will introduce themselves and guests will introduce themselves and then we will take it from there. The house rules, phones are going to be in silent be requesting that. Over to you, honorable members.
Good morning, Susan Tembekwayo, member of this committee. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Mashwanzi Machapta, a member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Fish Mashalera.
Good morning, I'm Bulelo Ngonzo, member of the committee.
Morning, everyone. I'm Donald Mapama, a member of this committee.
I'm the member of Kindat Maisela, a member of the local committee.
Over to you, Emish Mututi.
Well, thank you, Chair. Morning, honorable members and the support staff. I'm Gillian Mashiho, responsible for health in Malanga. With me is Dr. Savera Mohandi, the HOD, and is Sipum Tau, the acting DDG for clinical services. Sarah Gumede, senior manager for non-communicable diseases. Fana Pagati, acting chief director for infrastructure in the department.
Department of Health.
Morning, I'm Melvin Freeman. I'm the Chief Director for Non-Communicable Diseases at the National Department of Health, and apologies from the Director General and Deputy Director General. They have a crisis in one of the provinces that they are dealing with. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Frank Magua, Office of the Minister.
Good morning, Chair. Members. My name is Paragat
Basabu,
Office of the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Antonio Mitro from PNG.
Thank you very much. We have got a couple of apologies. Ms. Lungiswa James, a member of the TA. Sorry. Okay. Who are you, sir?
Good morning, Bob Governor from MediClinic.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Member. We have got a couple of apologies. One, Ms. Lisa James is the victim of today's weather. Her electricity is off. We can't open her garage. She can't, so she's back at home. Mr. Imam Sheikh is in police, am I correct? So I'm telling another committee. And we have got a letter of apology from one of our members, Ms. Wilmot James, who has tendered an apology to this committee for unable to attend because he has resigned as the member of parliament, is preparing for his departure to Columbia University of New York City. Otherwise, he said he will keep in touch with us, setting up a WHO collaboration center in health security and diplomacy at Columbia University. He said he had all the best in working with us, and he wishes me well with the difficult times lie ahead for all of us. So Mr. Wilmot James is no more part of us. We will then be told or be given the secretariat, the committee section will be given at the appropriate time who is then going to be substituting him. Otherwise, that is bad. Those are the apologies. Thank you, Honorable Members. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee, support staff, and guests. Thank you very much for inviting us to present our status on mental health in the Mpumalanga province. During the month of June, which is a very important month of the youth of South Africa, it is during this month that we observe and salute our young heroes who profoundly changed the socio-political landscape in our country.
Events that triggered the uprising can be traced back to policies of apartheid government that resulted in Bantu Education Act in 1953. After we took over from the apartheid government, our focus was to rebuild what was lost and focus on empowering our young people in developing this country for a better future. Honorable Chair, it is said that in life we live in today, many of our young people are drug addicts, which lead them to be admitted to mental health institutions. The abuse of drugs such as Dacha, Nyaupe, and many more contributes to the increasing violent crimes in our society. Many young people continue to lose their lives because of violent acts that they commit. As we speak now, South Africa is plagued by killings of young women by their boyfriends, which is a serious concern. This simply says there is something that we must do as a government to turn the situation around. However, on a positive side, we must thank the young people who have risen above the bar and continue to play a significant role in our society. Honorable Chairperson, mental health is an integral element of health. And improved mental health is fundamental in achieving government's goal of a long and a healthy life for all South Africans. Our ultimate goal of a long, healthy life requires us to invest in mental health so as to contribute substantially to our social and economic development. Mental health program cuts across all programs. An increase in unemployment, alcohol and substance abuse, violence against women and children, prevalence in HIV and AIDS and chronic diseases has a big impact on mental health. There is some progress made in the implementation of mental health, like the establishment of the Mental Health Review Board. There is one Mental Review Board appointed for the province. The Mental Health Review Board was appointed by my office in line with the Mental Health Care Act No. 17 of 2002, which was promulgated in 2004. The board is reporting directly to my office. The board serves as the eyes and the ears of my office while conducting oversight role. The board reports any infringement of human rights of mental health care user to my office. It became clear from their report that their workload is becoming too much for one board, hence the department is contemplating in increasing the number of mental health review boards. 3 years back, the province had a long waiting list of offenders awaiting observation. A move was taken by the department to employ a forensic psychiatrist. As we speak, there is no waiting list in the province. While some progress has been made in the implementation of the mental health legislation, there are still some challenges that the department is encountering, namely that we are not having a psychiatric hospital in Mpumalanga. Honorable Chair, this has a negative impact on the training of health professionals such as student nurses and medical doctors, having to go to other provinces for training needs in psychiatry. It makes it difficult in attracting specialists in the mental health field. As part of the intervention, the department is working with the Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency, which is MEGA, to source funds in order to start constructing a psychiatric hospital in the province. The process is at an advanced stage, and we are hoping that this will commence before the end of the current financial year 2017-18. Another challenge we have as a province is that our general hospitals are being used to deliver psychiatric services, and this has resulted in a number of adverse events in the province. The adverse events include mushrooming of unlicensed NPOs that are providing mental health services, especially in the Nkangala district, which is closer to Gauteng province. This proves that community mental health services are required by the people of Mpumalanga. This is a gap that the department acknowledges and is in the process of addressing it in collaboration with the Department of Social Development and National Department of Health.
Other adverse events that has occurred in the province include psychiatric patients escaping from our facilities and committing suicide. We have had a number of suicide deaths in Standard 10 and Sali. Our patients attempted to escape in hospitals like Rock Ferreira. This was after a psychiatric patient threatened to commit suicide, and the police and even the provincial commissioner of SAPS had to intervene to try and save this patient, who climbed to a rooftop of Temba Hospital. It took about 36 hours for police to get the patient off the roof. Honorable Chair, as in Mpumalanga, we are working around the clock to make sure that the projects of constructing a psychiatric and an academic hospital kicks off so that we can be in position to not only have the hospital, but to also attract health professionals that will provide their services in the province. Honorable Chair, we acknowledge our shortcomings. We accept our weaknesses. We have a political will and administrative will to correct the situation. What happened in Gauteng caught us offside and is a lesson that we all have to learn from. Thank you.
Over to you, HOD.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm just going to give more details in terms of the current state of mental health services in our province. The outline of my presentation will focus on the items below. In terms of the purpose, it's just to present the state of mental health services in Mpumalanga province to the Portfolio Committee on Health. Just a brief background on the province is that our province has a population of just over 4.3 million as per the community survey of 2016. We have three districts, that's namely Eshlanzeni, which is our biggest district, Nkangala and Khelsibande districts. Our province is located in the northeastern part of the country, which is bordering Swaziland to the southeast and Mozambique to the east. Mpumalanga province shares common borders with Limpopo province to the north, the Gauteng province to the west, Free State province to the southwest, and KwaZulu-Natal in the southeast. We are mostly rural in nature, and this hence makes it difficult for us to also attract scarce-skilled professionals in mental health as well. In terms of the service delivery platform, the provision of mental health care package is delivered to our users at different levels, namely in the community through the ward-based primary health care outreach teams, in 287 of our primary health care facilities, in 25 hospitals that conduct 72-hour assessment, and in case of substance abuse, all 28 hospitals provide detoxification to clients that are already booked for rehab services by the Department of Social Development. We have medium to long-term mental health services in three of our designated facilities. That is Rock Ferreira, which has 30 beds, Tinswalo Hospital has 50 beds, and Witbank Hospital in Kangala has 26 beds. 11 hospitals, we have child and adolescent psychiatric services that are provided by specialist nurses. Our department has contracted Life SCD Meni for the provision of chronic mental health services. For the adults, we have 250 beds at Seatutuka and 20 beds in Baneng. In terms of forensic psychiatric services, these are conducted in two hospitals, that is Ermelo and Tinswalo. We are doing both the single and panel observations. In terms of forensic psychiatric outreach services, these are provided to five of the prisons, which is in Nelspruit, Barberton, Ermelo, Woodbank, and Middleburg, and this is done by the forensic psychiatrist once a month. Over the past 3 years, in terms of the admissions, you can see the admissions under 18 have started to decrease. We've had 116 2014-15, and in 2016-17, the last financial year, there were 68. Admissions in terms of above 18, in the last financial year, we saw 2,924. And the mental health admissions in total was just under 3,000 for the last financial year. In terms of forensics observations, panel observations, in the last financial year, we had done 64. The single observations in the last year was 174, giving us a total of 240. Of this 240, 74 were found to be fit to stand trial, and 163 was not found to be fit. Our referral system in terms of mental health, The primary healthcare facilities refer the mental health care users to the 72-hour assessment facility, and the mental health care users from the 72-hour assessment facilities are either discharged back to the community or they are transferred for further care and treatment to the three designated psychiatric units that were mentioned before, which are namely Rock Ferreira, Woodbank, and Sinswalo Hospitals. The mental health care users from these designated units may either be discharged home or they are referred to chronic care facilities at CH Tuka in the case of adults or Baneng for children. Sinswalo Hospital is the only facility in the province that admits the reclassified state patients. The difficult mental health care users that need further management from the designated facilities are referred either to Westkoppies in Gauteng and Sterkfontein because there are no specialized psychiatric hospital in the province. Rock Ferreira Hospital, they have psychiatric services that are available after the 72-hour observation, and they support all the hospitals in Eshlanzeni district and three of the hospitals from Khasibande district. Woodbank Hospital also has a psychiatric domain after the 72-hour observation, and they support the Ermelo region, all in Kangala district hospitals, as well as the remaining district hospitals in Khasibande. And then Tinswalo Hospital, which is our large district hospital, they do the psychiatric services as well as they have single and panel observations. They support the regional hospital of Mapulaneng and provide all the forensic psychiatric services in the province. The human resource, according to the current organizational structure, our mental health unit is headed by a deputy director. This subdirector then reports to the director of non-communicable diseases in the province. At district and sub-district level, we have mental health coordinators, and we have one district mental health specialist team that is in Kangala district. The department is in the process of reviewing the organizational structure, and our plan is to establish a mental health directorate, which will be in line with the National Mental Health Policy Framework and Strategic Plan. As a chairperson, you'll find that the human resources in our organigram currently, there are some challenges, but our deputy director post has been filled. We have three assistant directors in the province. We have three psychiatrists in the province. We have seven registered advanced psychiatric nurses, and there's quite a few psychologists and community health psychiatric nurses. We do have challenges in terms of the rehab staff that are supporting the psychiatric services. In the next one, we show the challenges that are there in terms of the human resources that are needed to address the strategy, and you'll find that there's still a lot of gaps in terms of us achieving that strategy. In terms of the governance structures, the province has one provincial mental health review board that our Honourable MEC has already alluded to, and it comprises of a legal practitioner, a mental health practitioner, a community member, and a secretariat. Just to give you financial implications in terms of how much we've spent in the last financial year on mental health itself, totally we've spent $78.5 million as a province. The provincial beds that are required as for the population, the province needs a minimum of 1,214 acute beds, 433 medium to long-term beds, and 867 community beds, which means that in total the province needs 2,514 psychiatric beds. Currently, we only have 106 acute beds in the three designated facilities that I've mentioned. And in terms of the medium to long-term beds, it's only the 270 beds that we are outsourcing to Life at City Many. We don't have any halfway houses in the province to cater for community beds. Currently, there are two new general hospitals, that's Mapulaneng and Middleburg, that is being built, and they'll cater for an additional 194 acute beds. And we are also upgrading Mamatlake and Kwamshlanga, which will deliver 80 acute beds. In terms of the infrastructure plan for the psychiatric beds, we are saying that Bethel, as per the norm, they need 60. We are busy with phase one, which will be completed by the 1st of April 2019. That will give us 40 beds. In Kwamshlanga Hospital, there's a huge number of beds that are needed for the norm. That's 126 beds. But we are busy with phase one, which will give us 40 beds, and that will be completed by the end of March 2019. Mamatlake Hospital, we're also busy with 40 beds there, which will be completed in 2019. Middleburg and Mapulaneng Hospital are also busy with their, we are busy with the upgrading at that hospital, or the new hospital, and this hospital will be completed by 2020, which will give us an additional 106 in Middleburg and 88 in Mapulaneng. Over the next 10 years, this is the way we've planned the rollout of the dedicated beds. We've targeted three of our big hospitals, That's Kwamshlanga, Mamatlake, Bethal, Mapulin, and Middleburg, as I've mentioned earlier, but also Temba Hospital has been part of the plan. And the Temba Hospital, the 74 beds are planned for in 2021-2022. We are saying that once the 314 beds have been delivered in the six hospitals mentioned above, we will then start with the specialized psychiatric hospital. Our Honorable MEC has already mentioned that we are working with the Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency, and if they have managed to raise the funds for building of the psychiatric hospital, then we will be starting with that hospital by the end of this financial year. However, if we have to rely on the current fiscus of the department, we are saying that we will start it in 2020-2021, and it will be a five-year project that will be completed by 2025. For the remaining beds, you'll see that in Eshlanzeni district, we need a total number of 563 as split among those hospitals. After our psychiatric hospital will be built, then we will be concentrating on these beds as broken down in the table that is indicated. For Khasi Bande district, we'll need a total of an additional 354 beds as allocated there, and we're saying that we will be doing it in phases as well. And then finally, for Nkangala district, we will need a total of 233 beds in addition to the beds mentioned earlier, and we're saying that we will also be starting it with these in phases to ensure that we eventually reach the backlog. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable members, there is a presentation from Mpumalanga Department of Health on the challenges and the state of mental health in the province. Any questions? Whilst members are still there, I put MEC in page 6, we no more call prisons, we call correctional service. I thought I was answering that. And secondly, I can see members are still there. Is that you on page 9, in terms of the referral system, you just referred to HOD that patients are discharged to communities. But I don't pick up any program that you are developing or you have developed in terms of assisting communities. Remember, our communities are still under that influence that a mentally ill patient is to be locked out somewhere. And therefore, it is important that as we develop our programs, outrolling it, take communities with. And moreover, you are not talking to. You do have community health workers. Now, what is it? You have a program of empowering them because so that when they go to a particular area, they are able to pick up those. So. Your presentation, in my view, is very weak on what is then the program of the department in empowering communities. I thought I must raise that. I may have missed it. The unfortunate part is that we got your presentation today. It would have been important for me if you would have made a. And I will request you to, we won't be able to do it now, but when you send that to the Secretariat, just unpack those that are, whether even if it's one district, bipolar, schizophrenic, and the contributory factors, so that we have an understanding. And lastly, do you have a dedicated program working with social development, SAPS, basic education? Remember, as the MEC has said, that there are a number of contributory factors in terms of, in particular, around the youth sector. So I was just doing that so that members can Now I can see that, yeah. Honorable Thembekwayo, Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Mayisele, Honorable Jafta, in that order.
Good morning once more.
Mahlale.
Oh. Thank you. I just would like to comment on a mention was made on the mushrooming of the unlicensed service providers. According to me, this is a matter of urgency because we wouldn't like to see a repeat of the occurrence of a city many. Because part of the problem was caused by the unlicensed service providers. So my advice would be this type of problem should be addressed with immediate effect to combat the occurrence of the unforeseen circumstance as it was done. And secondly, I just would like to comment on the human resource as the current organogram, and more specifically on the vacant posts. On the vacant posts, somewhere they say in the community, services is provided in the community through ward-based PHC outreach, which obviously means as long as you mentioned the services provided by the community, then it also means the community psychiatric nurses, I mean, we cannot have only a number of posts is 18 of community psychiatric nurses. Only 3 are filled, and then vacant 15, whereas services is provided through the communities, which obviously means the sooner you fill in this vacant post, then we'll be able to can discharge those psychiatric nurses to do their duties in different communities. So, and it's also worrying the very same human resource as per current organogram about the number of vacant posts, also in connection with the occupational therapists. At least we would like to know more or less when the time framework, when this vacant post will be filled. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to ask one question regarding, I don't know whether they call them clients or they call them patients who are discharged back home, whether they do make follow-up on patients, whether they do take their treatment after being discharged from the hospital, and also to check what role do community healthcare workers play with regards to mental health, because maybe sometimes you may find that you do have NGOs who have community healthcare workers who are playing a vital role in terms of their services. But I didn't hear you mentioning anything regarding that. So if you can just clarify whether you do have them or you don't have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, my question is linked to what you have asked, particularly with the programs the province is having. I just want to know if do you have any mental health awareness campaigns so as to alert maybe the public mostly about what can sometimes be the causes of a mental illness? I'm asking that, Honorable Chair, because there is in our communities that traditional way of thinking that if, let's say, Honorable Mahlalela here gets mentally disturbed, usually that will be associated with witchcraft, you see, that way. And secondly, we have those mentally disturbed people whom we find mostly in the streets. What are we saying about those? Because they don't take any treatments. Who is caring for them? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. It looks like there is a lot of vacant posts in the province. Although you seem to have some plan to fill them up, it is not acceptable that so many posts are unfilled and while you need them. Maybe you could explain why they are not being filled up and what is the problem. Is there only 3 psychiatrists in the whole province? I see, when I look at the figures, it looks like only 3 are actually employed, and that is a whole lot of shortage. It's a huge shortage, considering that you have a lot of facilities where they need to be. I wonder whether they go around, or if they do that, they will finish the whole year before they reach the starting point, and that's not going to be of any use to anybody. Yeah, thank you.
Honorable Mashale.
No, thanks and welcome the presentation. Let me start by saying what is the remuneration of the board? It says it must be remunerated, and are these 3 people sufficient to cover the whole province? Looking at the prevalence of what you are admitting in various facilities vis-a-vis the only 3 people that are supposed to be doing this work in terms of making sure that they consider appeals and make decisions on certain matters that relate to mental health patients. That's 1. 2, the framework raise large number of actions that is expected to be implemented by the department. I'm not going to mention all of them. The budget there, I'm not sure whether is it because the way you are putting it, you are saying financial implications. What exactly is the budget for mental health? Because we are raising it as financial implication, not as a budget. And what is the budget? How much are you budgeting for? The 78 million, we are saying it's a financial implication, it's not a budget. It means you see, as when needs arises, we are able therefore to intervene. It doesn't reflect that we have got a dedicated budget for mental health. And how is it being budgeted through the MTF processes? So that we've got a picture of how are you budgeting it through an MTF process in relation to that. Because now we're just getting a financial implications. And then going to the same issue that members have raised around human resource, you are saying, no, you are still looking at resume the organizational structure and create a directorate, how long is that going to happen? Because that framework, according to it, by now, you should have a directorate in terms of that framework on mental health, because that framework is now almost more than 4 years in existence. Since it was agreed upon and adopted, that framework and that strategic plan, and we're supposed to, by now, according to the plan, to the action plan, should have already created a directorate. And is there a reason why the person who's dealing with these issues on a daily basis, who's the deputy director, you decided to leave that person behind? Because you are saying now the matter is being handled by deputy director, but that person is not here. And is the one who's working on these issues on a daily basis. And we're not able to get the benefit of the information or the challenges that he or she's encountering or is encountering on a daily basis, because it's not part of the team. Is there a reason why he has been left behind and not part of the team? Because we would have loved to have practitioners so that we understand the issues from the practitioner's point of view who are dealing with these issues on a daily basis. And then one of the action plan that the chair has raised is around your intersectoral collaboration, which the report doesn't cover. If you can just share with us whether there is intersectoral collaboration and with whom are you collaborating? Within government and outside government, because it raises a large number of issues in the educational sector, in the area where you are generating economic activities. Because I'm not sure what is the main prevalence causes of mental illness in Mpumalanga. But one of the issues that internationally has been, especially in South Africa, not international, poverty has been one of the contributory factors for mental illness. I'm not sure what is the main causes beyond your drugs, especially, beyond your drugs and alcohol. And then the issue of advocacy. It's one of the issues that the task of the board as well, to ensure that there's advocacy around this issue of mental health and looking into the issue of this board being just 3 people who are, I'm sure they're full-time employees somewhere. The extent to which they will have time and opportunity to engage on advocacy and as required by the Act. And then the other issue that is very critical for me, that is in the part of the action plan, it's monitoring and evaluation. I didn't get how you are dealing with that issue of monitoring and evaluation. So that you are able to make sure that you intervene from time to time and be able to deal with whatsoever challenges that might arise from them. And then when we had a presentation from Limpopo, which we are not mentioning, we are only mentioning Gauteng as a referral. They said one of the challenges that they have is that there are a lot of patients that you are referring to them is Mpumalanga. But you don't mention it here that you've got patients that you are referring to Limpopo, because that's what they said. Because you don't have a psychiatric hospital, and therefore one of the issues that they have is that their facilities are congested, and one of the contributors for that is yourself, Mpumalanga. Around the issue of monitoring, the extent to which therefore you are also able to monitor the NGOs that are providing that service, in keeping with Section 43 of the Mental Health Act regulations, so that we make sure that these NGOs they provide the care that is in line with the policies of government, and they are adequately providing the service that is needed. And what are the does that financial implication that you have referred to include money that is given to these NGOs? And if it does, how much is allocated to these two NGOs that you've mentioned that are providing, it's Life City Main and the other one, that are providing the services as well? And you said it's only Dintswalo that is, but I saw a response from, so that I was trying to trace it here. I saw a response from the minister when he was being asked by the opposition around this issue. You have not only mentioned Dintswalo in that response, there's Witbank, there's, I just forgotten the other. I saw a response the day before yesterday where the minister was being asked about the state patient, mental health patients that are being kept in various psychiatric hospitals in the country, per province, throughout the country. And in Mpumalanga, there were about 15. And then in that 15, there were spread around about 3 to 4 hospitals. But here you're saying it's only Dintswalo that has got that authority to do that. You can just clarify that matter. Was I told the minister that minister's response was informed by yourselves? Yeah, no, I'll end that. Yeah.
Honourable Consul, then to the Honourable Mabang. May you please use the mic?
On the page, the proximity of the province to the border in Swaziland and Mozambique to the southeast and the east, respectively. I just wanted to check how affected are they in as far as the community is concerned of the bordering countries to Mpumalanga. Are they not maybe, I don't want to call it a nuisance, but finding yourselves with increased patience as a result of their proximity to your place? On the page 13, spectacles on. Yeah, a mention has been made about the organogram and the challenges thereof.
I just wanted a special a mention to the response that you're going to give on this very huge variances in as far as the number of posts in the field are concerned, particularly on the community psychiatric nurses, where there's 15 vacant and principal clinical psychologists, nothing at all registered counselors, 45 vacant. That's all, Chair. I just wanted to check because to me it is a big concern, especially where there is a zero appointment. Thanks.
Honourable Mabar, can you please switch off your mic, Honourable Konzo?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Greetings to the members of Parliament and also the leadership of the department from Mpumalanga, my home province. It is true that Mpumalanga is a deep rural area, so it's very much difficult for any department to have professional from moving from their urban areas to our rural area. So I just want to find out from the department if they do have the strategy in place for recruiting local youth, in particular the matriculants from Mpumalanga, to join this province so that they can come and assist after graduated as a professional psychiatrist. I think I only have that question. Thank you. No, sorry, Chair. I just wanted to rephrase. I now got the issue that I was raising about the minister responding, so that it's not in the context I raise it. It's in the context of inadequacy of space in various health facilities, which therefore necessitate that patients, mental health patients, be kept in the correctional facilities, because they don't have speed. How prevalent is that problem? I just want to rephrase that, because you're saying no. That is the question that was asked by to the minister, was no. There are provinces, Mpumalanga included, where there's inadequacy of accommodation, and therefore, in advance of that, a mental health patient, the state one, are kept under correctional facilities. And how do you manage them there? How do you relate with correctional services? How do you manage those patients in those facilities? Taking into consideration that you are highly understaffed, you don't have the capacity that is required. How do you make sure that these patients that are kept there are kept under the condition that is that is required in terms of the law under the Mental Health Act?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. My apologies for taking you back. Chair, I wanted to ask, what is their relationship with traditional healers and traditional leaders regarding mental health and substance abuse?
I would expect a comment or a response from the MEC. And I just want to say to the Mpumalanga Department of Health, the state of human resource is unacceptable. I'm raising this because it means health workers, nurses in particular, who are not trained in general hospitals, are to look after these patients. And I'm not raising this because I don't understand the situation. For an example, a patient is to be kept 72 hours. Now, do you manage that 72 hours, or there is also a challenge in that? And if then, obviously, it means majority of your patients are treated in general hospitals and are treated by general nurses. I think I've been covered by what Honorable Mashalela has asked, because also in correctional services, what is then the situation? I'm saying unacceptable, MEC. I don't want to preempt what will be the response, but at the end of the day, the state of the human resource, it borders and it also touches into potential of human rights of mental ill patients being violated, not deliberate. I will come in defense of this, not deliberate, but because of the situation and the circumstances. And it means those health workers it means nurses and health workers in that environment are seriously overstretched. So it's I want to raise it up front. Completely unacceptable, and would really it was in key areas where one thing that in a population of about 4 million, we can't have a situation where you in the vacant post of 11 social workers you have got only 3. How are they managing? I'm just picking up occupational therapists that are supposed to be assisting this patient, community psychiatric nurses, which are supposed also to assist. It then means whatever collaboration you're having, which I would more focus on communities, on relatives of these patients, they are just left on their own, because people that are supposed to be assisting and empowering them are not there. So I thought that it's a quite serious situation. I thought I must raise it now so that as we'll be responding, we really have an understanding of what is then the situation in terms of Mpumalanga. We will, not unless you are able to respond now, as we will be, so that we don't eat much of your time, we don't just break you. If you say you're ready to respond now, it's fine. You can do that. I'll hand over to you, Anissa.
Thank you, Chair. Those that will be able to respond will respond, and those that will put in writing will indicate that we put in writing. I'll request the senior manager, the acting DDG, and the HOD, and then I'll be the last.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. I will take some of the issues and acknowledge the gaps that have been raised by the honorable members, especially around the issue of the community services that we are providing. In terms of the follow-up of patients, the programs were not included. However, there are still gaps, as you have indicated, in terms of the human resource, especially when we spoke about the 3 nurses. However, we have got the district ward-based outreach teams that's the one that goes to the community, especially they were the ones who also even identified the issues where we found that they were unlicensed NPOs. Those are the ones that are able to also to do the follow-ups of this patient. However, we still need the dedicated, because a mental health or psychiatric services, it's a specialized kind of, you find that some of them, they are not well trained, even if they are getting those patients to deal with them. So it is a gap when it comes to the community, maybe follow-up. In terms of the forums that the department maybe is also forming part in dealing with mental health, we have got forums where we are closely working with, especially the SAPS, the correctional services, and as well as the Department of Education. We also do have, because that is where I was also talking about the, in terms of those patients or those children which are being referred for psychosocial problems. So it is not enough. We are still having 11 of those specialized maybe psychiatric nurses. Then in terms of the mushrooming of the NPO, we acknowledge, because this one was also brought to the MEC, who was very, aggressive in terms of we need to work in collaboration with the Department of Social Development, because they are, those NPOs, they were not, we are not working in collaboration with them. They are just there in the community. However, the fact that they are also keeping some of these patients, we have to be doing those M&E. That is where the issue of the coordinators down there, they help us to identify those. In terms of the occupational therapists, we had to mention mainly the three, that those ones that are dedicated to mental health, because we do have other occupational therapists, but the one that are dedicated, they are allocated in the three designated facilities that we mentioned before, that is Rock Ferreira, Dinzualo, as well as Witbank. That is where they are being placed to work with those patients, to help those patients who are on the medium to long-term stay. I'll leave the other one maybe to the HOD, especially to say when are we going to fill the HR. The issue of mental health awareness campaigns, we do conduct mental health awareness campaigns according to the health calendar. We have done so many. Some of them include the issue of substance abuse, where we also have the National Department of Health coming down, where we have to include other departments like social development, as I've indicated, SAPS also, and the other departments that we're working with. The ones in terms of the the issue of the psychiatrists that we have got three, we acknowledge the fact that they are very few. I think it is also contributed by the fact that we don't have a psychiatric hospital, because in terms of the registrars, if we have got a psychiatric hospital, at least that one is being addressed by having those that are interested to come into the play. Then in terms of the review board, they are getting a stipend. They are not full-time. They are also not going per institution. They only go to those that have been referred, to those patients that are being referred by they do the oversight to the hospitals. And then some of the challenge that we are experiencing is that the workload is too much, and also the fact that Mpumalanga does not have a high court, but very soon we will be having a high court for Mpumalanga. That is one of the challenges that was experienced by the province. During the MEC's overview, he indicated that we need to have two extra mental review boards to try and cover the province, because the one mental review board, they've indicated that they are unable to do the workload is too much for them. We acknowledge the fact that we have written a financial implication. It is the budget we didn't put. We acknowledge Honorable Mahlalela that we said financial implication instead of finance, the budget. We will rectify that. And the one for the director, maybe the HOD is going to take that one. The fact that maybe the deputy director could not come with me is because we don't have a director that is responsible. However, the deputy director is reporting to me when I'm doing the, because I'm one of the sub-directorate is mental health. So the deputy director is reporting to my office.
Sorry for just forget that the team that has come in is from Northern Cape. So, okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will talk to the issue of us unpacking the common mental health profiles. We will do that, but basically we know that just to give a brief outline, most of the patients that are admitted are due to bipolar, schizophrenic patients, depression, anxiety, and disorder, and anxiety disorders, and also in Nkangala specifically, the common cause for mental illness is substance-induced psychosis. That is what we see in Nkangala, but we will unpack as we submit a written response. With regard to the advocacy, Honorable Mahlalela, I fully agree that the fact that we have only one mental health review board that covers the whole province, it makes it very difficult for them. As we sit with them in meetings, they are saying they are not able to perform what they are supposed to perform as a review board, because they, in fact, what they do is they dedicate one day in a week where they don't go to their respective workplace, and they move in all the institutions to attend issues of mental health. And on those bases, we have agreed with the leadership that we have to fast track so that each and every district has a mental health review board so that they are able to attend to all the issues that they need to do. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, that also is another weakness in the sense that the structure as is at district level, we have coordinators, and at sub-district level, we do have coordinators. But monitoring, going deep into the community, I say it's where we're still lacking, even though we have this sub-district mental health coordinators, but it's still not sufficient to reach each and every person. In terms of the campaigns, she touched briefly about the campaigns that we do. We have started what we call Operation Paramelimpilo as a Department of Health. With this Operation Paramelimpilo, we go out to the communities, even to the taxi ranks, taking services there. And part of the services that you are taking there is mental health. And we also get have slots where we talk about various illnesses, and we schedule each month to say this month we are going to deal with maternal and child, this month is mental health illnesses. But I cannot say that is enough. We still have a lot to do in terms of creating awareness about mental health illness. The issue of the budget she talked about, I think the rest talks more to the issue of the issue of us having patients in Limpopo. Yes, we had a meeting with Limpopo Department of Health with an aim of us having a memorandum of understanding, looking at the fact that we have areas that are bordering. In Kangala, we have areas that are next to Philadelphia Hospital. People go to Limpopo. And in around Akonuk, patients reach out to Limpopo. That is why we have started with this process of having a concrete MOU with Limpopo. And during that interaction, we noted that they are carrying a load of some of our mentally ill patients. But noting that we do not have a facility, they said they'll continue. The process that they'll continue catering for them, the process that you have started with them is that we ask for a database of all those patients so that we are able to locate even the relatives and to be able to go regularly to check their status. It's an omission that we did not include Limpopo as one area where our patients are going to. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I think most of the questions my the managers have managed to respond to some of them, and we will give them some of them in writing. But I think maybe I'll come in, especially when it comes to the human resource part of it. Yes, we do acknowledge that there are major challenges in filling the vacant posts. Our budgetary constraints do pose a challenge for us in order for us to fill all those posts. And it is true that our organogram has been delaying. But what we can commit to is that we will be looking at especially those posts that are within the current organogram and try and prioritize prioritize most of them. I think in terms of the community psychiatric nurses or psychologists, because we do have some psychologists or clinical psychologists that are being given bursaries, and the Department of Education has also mentioned to us that these are people that are without jobs. So we will try and make sure that we prioritize those that are also bursary holders but do not have a post in the department. We do also have a program in terms of our human resource development where they go to the schools, especially targeting those children that are in grade 9 at the moment so that they know which subjects to choose if they are interested in the health sciences, and try and encourage them to come into some of our programs. We are having a problem in terms of psychiatrists, attracting psychiatrists to the province. Even if you look at the private sector, we do not have many psychiatrists in the private sector as well. What we have done is we've entered into an agreement with the University of UKZN while we are the Mpumalanga University is still busy with their health sciences faculty. We've entered into an agreement with them in terms of registrar posts. So currently we do have two doctors that we have sent for registrar training, and we are hoping that we will be able to then also have our doctors trained in psychiatry and that they will remain within the province. In terms of training of psychiatry, we are also having a challenge in that we don't have the psychiatric hospital there, but we have made arrangements with UKZN or with KZN again in terms of Madideni Hospital, where we are sending some of our nurses there for training in terms of psychiatry. And we're hoping that when they come back, then they will also beef up in terms of our specialized staff that is needed in that regard. My colleagues have also mentioned in terms of our M&E that is very weak, and maybe that is why as well the question about whether the bordering countries are having an impact on our psychiatric patients. We are lacking in that regard because of our poor M&E systems that we have in place. So in that regard, yes, we do acknowledge and we will be improving in that regard as well. I think those questions that we've missed out, Honourable Chairperson, we will put it in writing when we send our responses. But maybe MEC will have some things they'd like to answer.
But before the MEC responds, there is a very a response that made me to then ask this question. That the review board that it has got a workload, when in fact powers and functions of that review board are so important. Now, does it mean that you have got some patients whom, for instance, A of that, which is 19, it's 1A, must consider appeals against the decision of the head of health establishment, must make decisions with regard to assisted or involuntary mental care, treatment, and rehabilitation centers. If then you have got a board, a review board, that is overloaded, that means you've got mental health patients who are going through the system without some of their appeals being, and that thing, MEC, I hope the department, the National Department of Health, is taking note of this. I hope so, and I hope MEC will then be able to give us a response that says they're overloaded, they only sit once a week, when you have got such a volume of mental inpatients in your province. It's quite scary. I thought I must when you respond, you respond on that too. Thank you very much.
Well, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, we take the comments in a constructive way. With the last issue that we are raising, Chair, about the mental review boards, we are going to work on them. We are going to establish other new boards so that they can expand the whole province. We will give an account on that. We note the shortcoming, and moving from here, we are going to sit on that. On the human resource vacancies, we have noted, we'll go back with the and prioritize on the budget that we are having so that we also prioritize mental health as an integral of health. We want to say to the members, there has been shortcomings and we want to be honest. This session is also building on us that when we go back, we start to look at mental health as a serious issue. We will go back and correct, Honorable Chair, and our report will speak to that. The issue of advocacy, campaigns, intersectoral collaboration will facilitate on that because it doesn't need budget. It can be done on operational budget. We will work on that and make sure that we improve. In a nutshell, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we want to thank you for the constructive inputs that you gave to us. We'll go back, respond to each and every item. Those that will send in black and white will come to the second time of the portfolio committee. And we'll make sure that we change the situation, we improve. In our next encounter, you'll get a positive report with improvements. Thank you very much.
In that, when you come back, there's a question that has not been responded to, your recruitment strategy. Your recruitment strategy around the area of mental health. Remember that when they train now, professional nurses, they don't do the full. Now, how then do you recruit those to go and do the advanced psychiatry? So your recruitment strategy in terms of the existing, because what is important in my view is that in terms of the existing staff, how do you ensure that you recruit them? More than those that will be starting afresh, because those that are starting afresh is fine, but you have got a pool of professionals and enrolled nurses that are in the establishment. Do you have a so when you come back to respond, we hope that when you respond in writing, you will respond on that. Thank you very much for you coming, but we are, yes, we repeat, personally as the chair on behalf of the committee, I am seriously concerned about your state of mental health and some of your responses, maybe when we then interact again and for the responses, we'll try and explain to you that please be more detailed on this. And we hope the National Department of Health this year has also taken into account our concerns and the responses thereof. Thank you very much. All the best. I hope you'll be able to fly back.
Chair, I'm sure before they leave, Chair, I think it's important, Chairperson, that on the interventions, based on the questions that you have raised, why can't we give them at least 3 months or 2 months to come back and give us the response on the gaps where they have said there are gaps and they need to go back and fix them? Just give them a time frame so that we can see whether we are doing this, the purpose of them coming here is we are serious about mental health or not.
I would have then thought, Honourable Member, you just come in and say, Chair, we are giving them 3 months. We're proposing that we give them 3 months. They are to come back and reflect. So I think that is the view. We're all please, we'll do that so that between now and August, we are expecting August, September, that will be the 3 months period. You are expected to come back and take us through the and I hope the National Department of Health is also taking note of that. Thank you very much, Honourable Dad. Honourable Members, just a late stretch to allow Northern Cape to settle in. Thank you very much.
What time you got here?
They are still trying to sort out the issue of technology. Would it not be wise that is it serious? MEC from Northern Cape. We will quickly go to the house for the benefit of those that may not be knowing us, so that we introduce one another quickly. I'm the chair of the portfolio committee on health. My name is Ileva Tunja. Vyoga is not around. I was the secretary to the portfolio committee. At the back is Ndokuhle, who is our content advisor. Next to her is Moses, who is part of our research team. At the extreme back, it's Zubair, who is part of the research team. I'll hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves, and then quickly to you and our guests, and then the department, because we're also joined by the National Department of Health. Thank you very much. Over to you, honorable members.
Thank you very much. SS Kembekwayo, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm Nonplantlan Mubendara, member of this committee.
Thanks very much. I'm Mashwanzi Machapta, a member of this committee.
I'm Fish Masalela.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Mbulelo Nkonzo, member of this committee.
Morning, everyone. I'm Maphanga Donald, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Dr. Maisela, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sure whether I should introduce my team, Chair.
How you introduce them depends on you.
All right. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to come and do the presentation. My name is Labohang Motlapting, is the surname. I'm the MEC for Health in the Northern Cape. On my right hand side, I'm having the acting HOD, Mayor Thembima Zibuko. On my left hand side, I'm having Mr. Richard Jones. Mr. Richard Jones is responsible for EMS and regional hospitals, currently acting as the CEO of KH Kimberley Hospital. Next to him is Mr. Mabona, Leseja Mabona, Dr. Leseja Mabona, sorry, who is the chief director, acting chief director for infrastructure. And then we have the chairperson of the mental review board, Ms. Isaacs, and in the brown jacket on the other side there, it's the chief of staff, the head of ministry, Mr. Tony the Jack. So I think Mr. Jones Twin will introduce himself. When I came in, I thought Professor is Mr. Jones Twin, twin brother. Thanks.
Department of Health.
Morning, I'm Melvin Freeman. I'm the Chief Director for Non-Communicable Diseases, National Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Frank Mapuwa from Ministry of Health.
Good morning. I'm Kaidas Kasama, Office of the Deputy Minister.
My name is Antonio Metro. I'm from PNG.
Good afternoon, good morning, Bob Governor from Mediclinic.
Thank you very much. MSC will then hand over to you for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. Like I said earlier on, thank you very much for the opportunity that we've been given by the Portfolio Committee to come and present the state of mental health services in our province, the Northern Cape. One will want to say is simply that as we are aware, last year was not a very good year for the state of mental health, given the unfortunate incidents that we had in the country. As a province, we are going an extra mile in ensuring that we do not have such unfortunate situations in our province. The reason we also brought the chair with us, the chair of the board, or the mental review board, is precisely so that we can be able to display to the committee that we are working hand in glove. There are no issues amongst ourselves. But the only thing that one maybe needs to say is that having listened to the comments by the province that presented before us, it seems like we are having unique challenges. The board, under the stewardship of Ms. Isaacs, they have only 5 members, which brought us back to what I heard earlier on around the workload that they are always experiencing. Even in our last engagement, past 3 weeks, it's something that we dealt with, and we are in the process of trying to rectify such weaknesses. But I think the presentation will give all the details, and as usual and as always, our expectation is that we will be guided by this portfolio committee, because the reason we are here is precisely because we are to account to the public through the portfolio committee. And we believe and hope that, as always, this will be a very fruitful engagement that will assist us in ensuring that we enhance and improve on the services that we are supposed to render to the public. I will, with your permission, Chair, give over to the acting HOD to do the presentation, which we'll engage later on. Thanks.
Okay, we are joined by somebody. I would appreciate if we can, as he is trying to be settled, if he can introduce himself so that we know who you are, sir, and where you come from. You use the mic.
OK.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Albert Lynx. I'm the CEO for the West End Specialized Hospital in Mental Health and DRTB. Thank you very much.
Can I do this so that you do, if you can sit the side where there is a mic or next to Honorable Mahlalela, so that because I see West End is here, you may have some questions to respond to. Fine. Don't worry, there's nothing else we'll do to you. He will ask questions as long as you are not going to pull his jacket when he's asking difficult questions. All right, over to you. Everybody's acting, maybe in another appropriate time. You're in Hollywood, in Northern Cape, in the Department of Health. Acting HOD, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. The presentation of the provinces we're about to do is over about 19 slides. And we have got a few areas that I'm just going to highlight that we're going to speak to about mental health on the whole in the province and what we look like at the primary health care level. Especially we want to highlight to the committee the status of our 72 hours assessments in three slides, and then we'll talk about what is available in the province as far as the mental health services are concerned, the different categories of mental health services in the province. The Mental Health Review Board we will do in a slide or two, and also cover advocacy groups in the province that are available. Our human resource situation we will also highlight, as well as our challenges. And in the last slide, we'll just talk to the statistics of mental health clients and patients in the province. Chairperson, if it is fine with the chair in the house, if I can hand over to Mr. Jones, the chief director responsible for the program, to do the technical the content presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. In our tourism marketing materials, we describe the Northern Cape as a province of extremes, and in many ways this is the same for our healthcare. The Northern Cape occupies 30% of South Africa's land, and yet it's got the population of 1.1 million, which is just 2% of the population. And 25% of these people live in and around Kimberley on the eastern border of the province. It's 200 kilometres north to Kuruman, 300 kilometres south to Dar, 400 kilometres west to Upington, 700 kilometres southwest to Kalfinia, and 800 kilometres west to Springbok. Next slide, please. So Port Nolloth, which is where our emergency services are gravitating to today with the threats of the storm, is 1,000 kilometres from Kimberley. And due to the nature of our population distribution, we have developed over many decades a highly centralized mental health care system for inpatient care. But also we have a highly decentralized outpatient service. So our small population numbers and the large distances make healthcare provision a challenge. And we don't get extra resources for the challenges. The capitation funding is the same as every other province. But in fact, it's the opposite for us as well. Healthcare in Gauteng gets 35% of their capitation budget. The Western Cape gets 34%. KZN gets 33%. The national average for all provinces is 31%, yet the Northern Cape gets 26% of the budget. Mr. Wooden. So on to slide five, it should be. So our primary health care services, I'm on slide 5, on page 5. Our primary health care services are highly distributed. The province has 163 clinics and 36 community health centres across the province. And whilst very few of our nurses are advanced mental health care practitioners, most qualified nurses have mental health care as part of their training. These clinics...
Sorry, sir. Hmm. Maybe I'm the only one who is lost. That my document that I'm reading from, which is page 5,
yes,
is not talking to the figures that you are raising. I'm not quite sure whether you're summarizing, but it is on my page 5, screening for mental health disorders, treatment for, but you're also talking to numbers. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm having the wrong document.
No. So I was not going to just read the slide that was there. I was giving you some addition to it, if that was possible, Chair.
You know, fine. You know the danger of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when we are to ask questions, we are to ask questions on the basis of what you have said and on the basis of what is in there. It would have been advisable if you would have, maybe you have indicated that you will add some. So please, because you are not here just to read to us. You are here for us to, because we got this yesterday. Now, without the figures that you are, and honourable members, I'm not quite sure whether maybe I'm the one who is left behind in this presentation or who is over sensitive, but please, MEC, assist us in this regard. You are talking to numbers, which we must look into those numbers in then responding and asking questions in terms of the state of health, of mental health in Northern Cape. Don't be general, don't summarize, talk to us and direct us to the document that is in front of us. Honourable members, I hope I'm not, you'll tell me if I am.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe the HOD must do the presentation. If there's any additional information, Mr. Jones will fill up when questions are posed. Thank you.
Honourable Tim, go ahead.
No, I just needed to say definitely it's true, because there's something that he mentioned about the figures of the psychiatry specialists, and that for us is very important. It's not reflected here. If you can repeat that, not going back to that, but specifically on the aspect of their specialized outreach services and that, please.
It does come later. It was just building up the story about this highly decentralized service. The numbers are later in the table.
Can we propose this? Allow the HOD to take, the acting HOD to take us through. And in that, if there are any additions, or when questions are being asked, you will then come in. Because it's making us upside down. And we don't want to lose the trend. I'm happy that I'm not the only one that is picking that up. So, acting HOG, if you can do. Honourable Mahlalela, do you have the document? If I can check, because I want everybody to be.
No.
You do. Okay. Continue. It's our housekeeping. HOG.
Thank you. Chairperson and honourable members, apologies for that. So the context in the province is that government is the sole or key provider of mental health services, and we also have one licensed private psychiatric hospital and a large NGO which is serving the intellectually disabled population. We have got decentralization of inpatient services from West End Hospital, which is our only specialized hospital in the province. And we find that it is a challenge for that reason. because we've got adequate infrastructure and staffing at our general hospitals, which I will explain as we move with the presentation. Non-complicated mental health illness is managed at primary health care level. And government has no community-based accommodation, so we do not have what we saw, for example, during the Esidimeni saga, that people are, patients are in the community looked after by NGOs for mentally ill patients. We have a provincial mental health coordinator who provides oversight and coordinates all hospital and primary health care services. She is at deputy director level. And the district health mental coordinators we have in most of our districts, and I'm going to show a slide on that as we go forward. The psychiatric hospital in Kimberley provides a limited scale of outreach services to the district due to capacity issues. So Western Hospital also provides the main source of support and referral for acute mental health illness in the province. So at primary health care level, we do screening for mental health disorders as well as for treatments of mental health, and also we do screening for substance abuse, which, like we heard in our sister province that presented before us, it constitutes mostly of patients that have abused substances. They present with most of the mental health disorders. We also have specialist outreach services from West End for psychiatry and psychology. So as far as 72 hours is concerned for assessments, involuntary and voluntary 72-hour mental health assessment aims to eliminate any underlying medical condition, because sometimes it can just be something as simple as a urinary tract infection, so that must be excluded in that period. This should be provided across a range of general hospitals as is provided for in the Act. Most hospitals are not meeting this requirement, and we will explain in a bit why. And the province has allocated some funding for the refurbishment of these facilities in this current financial year. Now, this is what the picture looks like as far as our facilities are concerned. We've got these five districts in the province, and members can see that in Francis Park we have three hospitals, John Dowlow two hospitals, Namakwa two. In Pixlikasema we've got three hospitals, and in ZF Nkau we've got also three facilities. Now, in the slide we are showing what we have planned as far as the refurbishment that I spoke about is concerned, for which we have budgeted for this year. Kimberley Hospital and Upington having the majority of the beds. In Upington, we're going to use the old Godonia Hospital, which has now been replaced by Harry Sourcey. So in there, we will create 32 beds, and so the number tapers. And in the end, we have got very close to about 90 or so beds. A specialized psychiatric hospital, which is West End, so we have said that it's our only facility in the entire province, as vast as it is. Here we see general adult psychiatry for voluntary and involuntary, state patients, adolescent psychiatry and child psychiatry services, but only outpatients, as well as intellectual disability. Also, we do this for on an outpatient basis only. And forensic observation, we see day cases only. And in the slide then, I'm showing the beds for these different categories. Most of the beds being for the involuntary care for male patients, as we find they are the majority of our patients overall. So in West End Hospital, initially we had no beds for state patients, And then in 2011-12, we opened 12 beds, which resulted in 18 to 26 state patients having to be held at correctional facilities over many years. And by April this year, we had about 26 patients at these facilities, corrections facilities. And then what we did, and it has taken us many months, Chairperson, we refurbished an old psychiatric ward, and we created at that ward space to transfer all our state patients from Kimberley and Upington. And it was about 36 beds that we created in that old ward. And we're very happy to say for a long time we managed them to, we had been having this as a long-standing problem, but finally we managed to solve our problem of having our patients moved from correctional facilities to the 36-bed ward that has been opened recently. It actually opened last month. So this is something we are quite proud of as a province. Now, there is a hospital that is under construction now many years. Members of the committee will know this, the new mental health hospital, and it is anticipated that the completion will be towards the end of this calendar year or early in next year. The contractor, I must add, Chairperson, has given the promise that he will finish in November of this year. However, we're just cautious about those timelines given the current pace at which we are seeing the delivery. And he might still surprise us if he includes, if he increases the number of workers on site. But all things being equal, it might be at the end of the year or early next year. The value of the current contract is what is on the slide, and the majority of the blocks A, B, and C have reached 95% completion, and this is a 5% part that is quite intricate, and it's about the detail now, and that is why it's taking him as long as it seems to be. We have budgeted in the current financial year 136 million, Chairperson, and this is based purely on the rate at which the contractor is delivering. So there is a plan to say if he picks up his pace, maybe during the adjustment estimate period, funds might have to be moved then to accommodate him to indeed finish as he's promising in November. Now, upon completion, we'd like to stress to the honourable members that it might still take us another 6 months or so for the commissioning period to be concluded, as well as equipping. And initially, this will be about 199-bed facility. So as far as the Mental Health Review Board is concerned, and as MEC has indicated, we have the Chairperson, Mrs. Isaacs, here. Their main role is to protect the human rights of the mentally ill. And we also have one review board in the province, and they are based at West End Hospital. There are 5 members, 2 who are mental health practitioners, 1 is a legal practitioner, and we've got 2 who are community members. And they've all been appointed by the MEC and are remunerated at an hourly rate. As far as advocacy groups are concerned, 4 were established by the South African Mental Health Federation of South Africa, which is based in Pretoria, and they are in the towns on the slide. So as far as the human resources are concerned, and this is where some of our challenges will start to really show. For example, in Francis Bart, we do not have any psychiatrist at district level. We don't have, also in John Taulo Haitse, we a psychologist, and it just looks bleak for this particular district, even for social workers who are doing mental health services. We've got none. The majority of the human resource that we have is for occupational therapists across the district. So to continue with the human resource picture for tertiary and specialized hospitals, now we see at least at West End we've got 3 psychiatrists, and we also have got the most psychologists at West End Hospital, 2 permanent, 2 community, and 2 interns. And we've got the most psychiatric nurses also, 2 of whom have got advanced qualification at West End Hospital. The challenges, as far as the district mental health specialist teams are concerned, we are still in the process of appointing these in phases. At the moment, most of the work that is being done is done in Kimberley at a mental health facility, Western Hospital, and they provide outreach. Recently, the suggestion that they gave, which is what is being implemented, is they get staff from the different districts to come and be trained at the West End Hospital. We also have got a shortage of mental health capacity, which we need to address through the registrar program with the University of Free State. And as I said, we rotate some of the medical officers from the districts to come to West End for capacity building. Infrastructure, I've already explained about this, honorable member. So this is the last slide, which is talking to the figures that we have across the different indicators. The number of patients over the last 12 months, the caseload, the admission rate, as well as also the visits, which is the outpatient visits. So that is the end of the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Is there any addition from the team before we, or you will respond when questions are being asked? So you respond where questions are being asked. Honourable members, there is the presentation. Any questions? I see Honourable Thembe Kwayo, Honourable Mabanga, Honourable Maisela, Honourable Mahlalela, in that order.
Thank you very much for the presentation done. I would like to comment on the term acting, as you as the panel was introduced to us. There's a lot of the personnel on acting capacity, acting HOD, acting CEO, acting chief director of whatever. According to me, this is very much problematic, especially when it comes to efficient execution of the job. So if something can be done to change the acting to HOD or CEO or whatever the rank may be, that is very important, especially because you are in the Department of the mentally problematic situation. Okay, and that has got also an impact on the level of human resource, specifically in the district level. My problem is if you've got some efforts made in human resources at tertiary and specialized hospitals, why can't
the same efforts also be done in connection with human resources in district level, because we also have the patients. It's very much worrying to see that in all this, especially number one psychiatrist, Francis Badwell, it's 0000, which means that there are no psychiatrists in all those district clinics or whatever. And the zero, if we can, in actual fact, try to improve the zero to let there be a number better than one equated to those zero effects that are there, so that at least the human resource in district levels are improved. Very important, obviously, we would like to do. We wouldn't like to see the occurrence of what happened in Gauteng repeating itself in the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Honourable Member?
Thanks, Chair. Greeting to the MEC and his entourage. Chair, mine is on slide 14. The mental health advocacy groups are a very excellent idea. However, what needs to be put into consideration is their sustaining. The questions I would like to pose, one, how will they continue to operate in the next years to come? Two, are they making use of volunteers, and how many are qualified? Then now, Chair, resuming to slide 17, where it relates to the mental health challenges. With regards to the solution to the challenges, how far ahead are they implementation-wise? I said to Chair.
Honourable Mason.
Yeah, I was going to just ask one question, but maybe for the sake of you following up one by one what we really wanted, it will help you a lot. I'm happy that you have actually owned up that there is lack of proper infrastructure and staffing. All these problems I was going to ask one by one, that this, right? Now you owned up that there is no proper infrastructure, staffing is inadequate, and all sorts of things. So now for helping out somehow, I will ask questions one by one, so that at least it's not just you. Why are you here if you don't have any infrastructure, no staff? Now there is one licensed private psychiatric hospital in the whole province, I suppose. How does it help the public? I mean, it's private, and I don't think you are punting private hospitals here. Maybe it's just that it's there, but does it help the public, and how does it help the public? Question number two, there is also a specialist outreach services from the West End Hospital. You know, how many psychiatrists, how many do they have, how do they do their work? You said there is an outreach, specialist outreach service. How many psychiatrists are there in that team? How many psychologists? And how do they do their work? Do they hop from one facility to another? Or how do they do their work? And now, why are most hospitals not meeting the requirements of the 72-hour assessment as set by the Department of Health? Why are they not able to meet the 72-hour assessment as set out by the National Department of Health policy? Okay, it's because you say most hospitals are not meeting the requirements.
why are they not meeting the requirement? If there is any problem, let's hear about the problems. Maybe we may be able to make some suggestions as to how to sort it out. All board members are appointed by the member of the executive committee and are remunerated at an hourly basis. So are they beholden to the MEC who appoint them, or what is happening? I mean, if he doesn't like what they are doing and he pays them, he may just say, I don't like the way you work today. You didn't work for 3 hours, you worked for 2.5 hours. Or guys, you work for 6 hours. It is not possible to work for 7 hours, so let's make it 6.5. Now, don't you realize there is a weakness in this type of thing? Because when things work well, it's fine. But the day there is a problem, you are going to have problems with this type of setup where you employed people. We had experience with this. They say, well, they must ask you, they are your people, right? You employed them, you pay them, and they report to you, they are beholden to you. Find another way of solving that one without putting it on yourself. Then you can blame somebody. Well, I was going to ask you about what she had already asked you about, 000. Hey, by the way, I saw something like Mane Dipiko Hospital. Is he the one I know, or is the old one who's no more? Is it the living one? I saw a name of the hospital named after him. Is he the one that I know? Okay. Don't you think there is a weakness in that type of setup? Okay, so but it's there, it's there. But don't get in a habit of doing that. It can cause some problems. Now, you said that you are in the process of solving the district specialist, appointing district specialist teams and capacity in mental health and shortage in psychiatry. Do you, and you said that there are some registrars that are sort of tutored by the University of the Free State. So that means in the whole health setup in the province, there are no registrars at all. Or in the whole, let alone in the mental health thing, in the whole setup, health setup, do you have registrars in the hospital? Or you just depend on Uncle Sigelel? Thank you.
No, thank you, honorable members. I've got some few questions myself. I'll start with the, well, members, come again. My apologies. I didn't see their hands. MEC, this is my meeting. I don't need to be. I'm only assisted by one person here. The one is next to me. Honorable Nkonzo and Mahlalela, then I will come. My apologies. So that I can see Honorable Nkonzo, then after that is Honorable Mahlalela.
One question on the review board. the constitution thereof. Why or would it not be wiser to have traditional leader as one of the and the women? Specifically, you know, because if a member of the board is derived from a section of traditional healers, and then maybe one of the leaders is a member thereof, that could help, because they are meant to be working hand in hand with the
the professional medical officers. And in examining the case of women and the youth, maybe if that could be considered as well in the board establishment. Thank you.
Honorable Mashali.
No, thanks. Well, let me start where Honorable Tembawai started and special address this to the MEC. You'll recall, MEC, when we met with you in August last year, and he had an acting HOT. It's almost more than 10 months now. You still have somebody acting. And you know what acting means. Firstly, it doesn't create stability. And secondly, in terms of the Public Service Act, somebody must act for a particular period of time. Once you exist, that becomes irregular. And this one has been acting more than that time. I hope you've taken that into consideration. And then, what is the difficulty in finding a permanent HOD so that they're able to bring stability in the department? Where lies the problem? I'm raising this in the context that where there are instability, where there are challenges in the health department is because of these acting capacity issues. And where there are stabilities, where you've got permanent people who are permanently employed there, who knows what to do, and we've got authority because of that. Being permanently employed or appointed. So we'll really make a special plea that, this matter has been long overdue, that this matter be given the priority it deserves, so that they are able to then to normalize the situation in the department. And then coming to on the same human, maybe deal with the human resource challenge that you've raised. I've not heard how have you structured your organizational arrangement around mental health. Besides those that are in the institutions and what that you have reflected there, but what is the organizational arrangement? Because according to the framework of 2013. And the strategic plan that was agreed upon by the health sector was that by 2014-15 you must have established a directorate of mental health, and by now you should have a directorate and a director responsible for mental health. What is the state of that in relation to that matter in the province, because I didn't get that indication whether you are there or you are planning to be there, and if you are planning to be there, when are you planning to be there? I see that you are saying one of the challenges in relation to staffing, you'll have to get additional funding. Where are you going to get that additional funding? Have you agreed with Treasurer that the provincial Treasurer is going to give you additional funding for this stuff? Because that's what we are saying there. Or you are going to adjust certain budgets within the department to make sure that we've got additional funding for mental health in terms of making sure that you deal with the challenges of human resources. I'm raising this in the context that when you came here last year, you had a huge challenge of your budget. Has that matter been stabilized to such an extent, therefore, that you will be able to get that additional budget that you will require in order to deal with the challenges of human resources? Because when we were here last year, it was not a very good story around your financial position as a department. Has that financial position improved? Because there are huge accruals, yet as a result, you are unable to manage certain things because of that challenges. Has that matter within 10 months been resolved to such an extent, therefore, that we'll be able to get additional funding to be able to deal with the issue of human resource, so that when you come back at some particular point, you don't tell us the same story of challenges of human resources as a result of budgeting or as a result of the lack of financial resources. And then the framework, there are areas in the framework that reflect that what needs to be done, which I've not get you exactly what we're saying about them. One of the issue, I've not seen what is your budget for Mandela in the MTF process, or what is the budget for mental health in the province, in the department, so that at least we understand whether you are doing it ad hocly or you've got a dedicated budget that you have on an MTF processes. We know whether it's increasing or decreasing and all those things. And then the other issue that we only hear that it's only West Rand that is doing promotion, advocacy, and going out. Is it able to cover the whole province, huge as it is? Because that's where you're saying the only one that is able to do that. Is it able to reach the province as a whole, or have got other additional programs of promotion and prevention? And what are the main causes in your own analysis? Because if you do have a program for promotion and prevention, you should be knowing the causes, the main causal effect for mental health in the province, so that when you do promotion and prevention, you are focusing on those causes, if you do it. Because I didn't get clear whether you're doing it and what are the main focus area of this area of work. The other area of focus that the plan is set we must engage upon is intersectoral collaboration. I didn't get that. To what extent are you interacting with local government, with the municipalities, with your community health, your CDWs, your ward councillors, and then social development department, what role are they playing in this whole arrangement, your South African police services, your basic education department, what is that role are they playing in this whole arrangement, and then the issue of infrastructure, human settlement, all those issues, they are required to be integrated and part of the intersectoral collaboration. I didn't get what exactly are you doing about that. The issue of monitoring and evaluation, what system or mechanism are you using to conduct monitoring and evaluation of this program of mental health? So that we are able to have a better planning and management of mental health services. What mechanisms are there for monitoring and evaluation? And then the issue that some members have before that, the issue of the right, you said it's a large NGO. How large is that NGO? I see that you said you've got a large NGO. Is that beyond the name of that NGO or what? And what? And how large is it? Is it? If you can just clarify the largeness and how much are you allocating to that NGO to run this work in the province? And what areas are they covering in the Northern Cape, big as it is? And then the issue that members were raising about the mental review board in terms of its capacity, does it have personnel that is dedicated to service them, because they are not full-time? And then because they are not full-time, it means, and the Act requires that they must have dedicated staff that are working with the mentor. Do you have that dedicated staff? That is because of the nature of the work, and they are not being full-time. Therefore, some people must be full-time allocated to them to be able to collate data information and be able, when they meet, to be able, therefore, to have better understanding of what's happening on the ground. And their independence, taking into account what Honorable Maisela was raising, and taking into account the experience of Gauteng, where the MEC was pulling them around because they're being appointed by her. They were appointed by her. How independent are your mental review board? And the accountability, where does it lie at the end of the day? How do you manage accountability versus they are supposedly to be independent at the same time? Thanks very much.
No, thank you, Honorable Mahlalela. I will start with the latter. Just to ask, how many hours then do the review board work per week? How many hours? Because it's being said they are being remunerated at an hourly base. Other provinces will say stipend, but you say remuneration. And how many hours? And if I would be allowed to say at how much per hour? Two. That is slide 13. In 14, you said in terms of the advocacy groups, which are those? I think it would be important that you outline the advocacy groups that you are working with outside those that are within the government, social development, whatever. There are those that are then supposed to be outside. Slide number 12, MEC. The mental health hospital, that yes, it has taken us years. It has taken you years in ensuring that project now is going to come into finality. In budgeting, have you budgeted for everything which includes equipment? I'm asking that because it's only 136 million is allocated in this financial year for this project. What is it that is budgeted for? I'm asking this question because it has taken some time for this province to ensure that happens. So is it possible to make a breakdown of the budget for the project? On slide number 16, there's something that I'm finding it a bit strange. You have got tertiary hospital, you have got specialized hospital, you have got private sector. You have got psychologists. I hope I'm understanding this correctly. You have 12. Are you utilizing that 12, which is in the private sector, including psychiatrists, including occupational therapists? I'm adding that question with the question that you have been asked in terms of the human resource. And let me see the situation in terms of human resource in this area of health sector in your province is completely unacceptable. I think there's a question that has been asked. Can you just refer to us? Why are you finding yourself in this? Because if I am correct in reading this, you are more dependent on private sector. If then this is here, this 12, the psychologist and occupational therapist, of which I would have thought that the resources that you are utilizing for the private sector would not be advisable that you use that for public. If this thing is confusing me, make me to understand. I just want to labor on what Honorable Mahlalela have said, MC. It's completely unacceptable. You can't have acting people for a long time. I don't want to be unfair to the executive of Northern Cape to say you are not taking the health sector serious. And that to us is completely unacceptable. We are quite aware of the concurrent situation within how then you are operating, who does what, but at the end, concurrence or no concurrence, we have got a responsibility. And I think one thing that you would have to please just explain that for me so that I really do understand. Your report, your presentation is too much general. It doesn't go into specifics. Your empowerment program to communities. I don't know whether this area, acting HOD of mental health, is really one of those areas that are not taken serious. And we have called provinces precisely because we have been taken aback. But we don't want now to make a Gauteng situation. It's a national program. It's a national challenge. But I'm going to talk about you. I don't want to hear what other provinces are allocated, but I'm talking about you, Northern Cape. The presentation is coming across to me as the chair that it's either you are not taking this serious or you are not open and honest to us, so that we are then able to assist. Because our responsibility, among others, we're not calling you here for the sake of calling you. We have got a constitutional responsibility. We are to ensure that the Department of Health is able to assist you. But we've got a responsibility because at the end of the day, when we conduct our oversight, we are to ensure that things are as so. What you are giving us here, we are going to balance that with an oversight that we are going to conduct. So that's why we are a bit worried about your personally about your presentation, because it's not going to make us to understand where must we really zoom in Northern Cape in terms of mental health. It's a bit general. The last comment from me is that maybe you'll have to do that outside, because I don't think you'll be able to do it now, is that you unpack to us the levels. Where are you really hard hit in terms of mental illness? If they are bipolar, what is the causal factor? If they are schizophrenic, what is the causal? What are the impacts of substance abuse in you? At the school level, the child, the the pediatric psychiatry, adolescence, what is it? Make us to understand good people. I must not get a sense that we are going to the portfolio committee, we are going to read and figures and read sentences and we go out. No, unfortunately, in this term, I don't know in other terms, I'm not going to be talking about, I'm talking about this term. This committee has taken a concerted effort because we are just as frustrated as everybody in terms of the health sector. Now we're talking about mental health. Make us to understand the situation in Northern Cape so that when we go there, we know, MEC, where we are. So the issue of acting is quite a problem. The issue of acting is quite a problem. Send the message to the leader of the executive that in this committee we are concerned, and we are going to take that with the Department of Health. Honorable Mahlalela is correct. Where there's acting, when there's no stability, the Auditor General's report reflect on that. Where there's no stability in terms of leadership, issues are not running well. And that is our major concern. So I thought I must just raise those so that when you respond, please try to be in areas where you're not going to be able to give us a detailed information, reflect on that, because we are going to make a request you to send those to the Secretariat. We will make a follow-up. Thank you. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
The last one. We have got two medical doctors here. In my understanding as a nurse in the health sector, the underlying medical conditions which are prominent in making not being able to really show whether a patient is mentally ill or is because of his or her condition is diabetes and high blood pressure. Urinary tract infections, I'm often understanding that urinary tract examinations are enabling you to detect if there are no substance abuse that are then being consumed by a patient. So that's why I'm saying I'll be assisted by those that have gone deeper into the medical, into the health field, that in page 6, involuntary and voluntary 72-hour mental health assessment aims to eliminate any underlying medical condition such as urinary tract infection. And in mental health, I'm raising this because there was a time when I was still working, there was a patient that kept on coming back, being admitted in a psychiatric ward, only to find out that this patient, in fact, is diabetic. When he has got an episode, it's when he is diabetic, his sugar levels are very high. And we were all taken aback when this casualty officer said, no, that is the mistake that we do. We don't check. And he said it's hypertension and it's diabetic. Now, I'm not quite sure with the urinary tract infection, so that's why I'm saying I'll be assisted by those. My understanding is that it's when you want to pick up the level of substance abuse that is in the system. Either use the urinary, you examine the urine or the blood of a patient in that. So if that can be clarified. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the questions, clarity-seeking questions, and like I said earlier, when we started, I said, sometimes when we think you are doing the right thing, you need somebody to say, but you are out of line. So we really appreciate the comments and questions. I will hand over to my team, starting with the HOD, to respond to some of the issues. I will respond to those that they've not covered. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson and honorable members. I will start with a few questions and also hand over to the Chief Director, Mr. Links, as well, the CEO, as well as the other colleagues, because there are questions for each one of us that can be answered if the Chair allows. But let me start with the, excuse me, the question that was asked about the budget and the funding, whether the province has got funding and where are we going to get additional funding, and has our financial position improved as a Department of Health. Chairperson, the department's position as far as the budget is concerned or the allocation has just worsened. And we made the point when we also presented, I think 2 months ago, to the committee that the province has received a 3.5% cut from the Treasury. So instead of us even just getting the inflation rise, which is a normal expectation, we received 3.5% less than the baseline of the previous financial year. And this is very important, Chairperson, honorable members, because the Department of Health is receiving 26% of the provincial allocation of about 12 billion. And when compared with the national norm for provincial departments across the country, it's only us and another province, if I'm not mistaken, it might be Mpumalanga, that are at 26%. The national norm is 31%, because there are provinces that are getting up to 34%, like Western Cape, KZN, and Gauteng. Now, when we just quantify the 5% from 26% to the norm, which is what can be acceptable, it translates to 1.8 billion rand that the Department of Health has been shortchanged in our understanding. We have had conversations with the National Department of Health, the DG and the CFO at National about our plight as far as this is concerned, because where I'm sitting, I'm saying, how many nurses would I be able to appoint and doctors if I just got half of that 1.8 billion? So even if we were to get just 2% more and not the 5% that we think we should have at least be considered for to get to 31%, it would make a big difference in the department. Now, how that translates, and Chairperson, I think we are encouraged by the last comments that the Chair made, that we're supposed to cry out and also say how we think we can be assisted as the department. This is the bone of contention, because the figures that I've just highlighted are really distressing at an operational level. There are posts that we are definitely not going to fill. Our COE is not even getting to 60% for the department, not even 60%, where other provinces are spending up to 65% and sometimes 68% for compensation of employees. So there's something wrong with the picture in as far as the mandate for service delivery is concerned, because there are policy shifts on a daily basis that point to how we should be streamlining and delivering better services to the community. So in the context of why we are here today, Chair and honorable members, which is mental health services, the picture that we showed as far as human resources are concerned is affected by exactly the fact that we are unable to fund the required posts. Currently, we have got a very well-qualified psychologist who comes from private service, private health sector, who wants to join the department, and we are struggling to afford this clinician. but we need him. We know we need him. So we are busy negotiating with this person to join us to be able to improve the picture that is on the slide on the table. So I don't want to belabor that one much, Chairperson, but it's more a cry out for help because we have even mentioned it also at our provincial portfolio committee when we presented our APP to say we have got a few objectives that we might not be able to achieve. Then the next question that I will try and answer, Chairperson, before I hand over to Mr. Jones, is the one about the private sector and whether we are funding the staff that are in the private sector and whether we are utilizing the specialists, psychologists and psychiatrists as a private health sector. We do not pay for them. Just opposite the hospital that we hope we are finishing this year is a facility that has been built and opened officially last year. It belongs to the private health private sector. So they are maybe not our competitor as such, but we're losing revenue from the private patients because private patients now go to that facility. Some of our own staff are doing RWAPs there, the specialists that we do have. So we don't give them funding at the moment. They did apply for the license to establish the facility, and they were successful, and they built it quicker than our own mental health hospital, and that's how they are functioning.
Make me to understand, therefore, then, if then that is the situation, why do they fall part of your human resource there? If then they are not your competitor, you are not paying for them, why are they, why do you reflect? Because you're confusing us. That's the question.
Thank you, Chair. That's a very fair question to ask. What we were trying to do in the slide was just to show that for the sect, for the discipline, mental health in the province, generally what are the human resources that are available. And we were just showing a private sector because we've got mental health patients who go to the private sector who do not come to us. So we're just trying to show the picture, but apologies for the confusion. They are not part of the Department of Health.
All right, you can. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just try and touch on one or two issues, and I'll ask Mr. Lynx to pick up on the specialised hospital. One of the questions was about our challenges and how far are we with the solutions. And we've identified two key challenges. The first key challenge we face is about, and you've picked it up several times, about lack of mental health qualified personnel. So on the registrar program, we do have three registrars currently on a training program that we're funding with the Free State University, and they work with us. So one is on their, I think, their third year. One is on their second year and one is on their first year. So there's about a four-year program. So we expect to have those coming back to us. And our intention is one of them will have to go into the West End Hospital because one of our three psychologists is already a retired person, active now, but he will retire in the next year or so fully. So one will have to go there. And then our hope is that the other two will go into probably one into Uppington, and then we'll have to choose whichever district that they go into. In terms of the other major challenge, without mentioning the new mental health hospital, the other major challenges are 72-hour assessments that we've talked about, the facilities there. We have to be honest, and I think that's what you're picking up, it has not been a priority for the department for a long time. We've realised over recent years that that's a real problem. So in Kimberley Hospital, for instance, we've got a It's officially a 12-bed ward that we opened about 4 years ago, I think it was opened, 5 years, and that is clearly proving inadequate now. So we've now identified another ward. We've emptied it, a 20-bed ward. We've got the plans in place now. It's gone to Public Works for a tender to do that construction that will give us a 10-bed female and a 10-bed male wing to it with two isolation wards in it. We're still having to work out the funding for the staff for that. It's about 6 million staffing. HUD mentioned our budgetary issues, and you've mentioned them as well. It's a major challenge for us, and we just have to understand that whenever we pull money from somewhere else, that place, that part of the service suffers. But we have recognized that mental health is such a priority for us now that we really, it can't be a Cinderella service anymore. And the other area that we're really going to push on this year rapidly is Uppington, where we can use the old, a ward in the old hospital there and create 20 to 30 beds in the first instance. So that will be the first 6 to 9 months worth of work, and we have then those other hospitals with mainly around 4 beds in them that are listed on one of the slides there, on slide 8. So that's the money where we've got allocations put in the infrastructure budget to do that, and we expect to make good progress on those. The private sector has been mentioned. Apologies putting them there. It's often difficult knowing how far to talk about the private sector. Private sector is mentioned in the Act. It's a responsibility of the health department. So we sometimes put them there, but we do not collaborate very closely with the private sector. They're not seen to us as part of our service. The private hospital mainly takes, I think, exclusively voluntary patients. It doesn't take involuntary patients. It's been open about a year, so I suppose in a way, because we recognise it as the first other mental health facility in the province, that's why we've mentioned it. The other one that is a major issue for us, support, but again, we don't fund it. It's funded through social development, is the Yonder facility, which is owned and managed by the Mental Health Society. So the Mental Health Society they work across the province, but mainly with the less acute mental health and the intellectual disabilities. So in that sense, it stops people escalating and becoming bigger problems for the health department. And we do have some links with them, but not as great as we should have. The Yonder facility is it has accommodation, sheltered accommodation, it has schools, has workshops, and it also runs outreach programs. So it has those strong advantages for us. Let me just check. The registrars have talked about the Mental Health Review Board. I think Cynthia Isaacs were taught on that. It certainly has female members on it. And the chair is female. We don't have traditional leaders. I think that's certainly an area that the MEC will want to pick up on. The organisational structure, we haven't moved fast enough on this. Our mental health organisational structure is the programme sits within what we call priority programmes, managed by a chief director. And then below that is a director for non-communicable diseases that includes mental health. And then below that is a dedicated deputy director who's the program manager. The new hospital, currently we have a deputy director running the main hospital. When we open up the new hospital, we still need to finalise that. That will probably be at a director level. We're still going through a little bit of a debate of whether we try and merge the hospital and mainly the primary care and mental health into one directorate, which is probably the best way, so we get integration of that service. And that's something we haven't, again, moved fast enough on. We must sort that. The M&E systems, I think maybe I can get Mr. Lynx to talk on our M&E processes that we have within the hospital and also across the districts. We do have indicators in our APP, our annual performance plan. They're not as strong and there are as many as we should have. I think that's an area we'll want to also strengthen. We will give you response. There may be some others I'll just come back on if they're not picked up by other colleagues. And then I think we're going to have to pick a lot of these up. The urinary tract infection is my fault. My father was totally bananas. Everyone said he'd gone mentally ill. Turned out he had a UTI. So that was all it was. As soon as they gave him the antibiotics, he was back sane again, and we knew who we were. So it's my own fault. It's just one that was... Okay, thank you.
No, fine. You, whoever is going to respond, whether it's the MEC, I need to say this so that I'm not... I do have a level of discomfort. It seems you have got a very sophisticated public-private partnership in the mental health. In between lines, it gives me... And that's why I wanted to ask that question. And if you do, tell us. Make us to understand, because I'm honest, MC. I still find it very difficult. Why did you put private, the skills that are there in terms of the expertise that are there? Is it, make me to understand. Maybe not today, so that when we go out, we do have an understanding. That we are not having a situation which it has always been in General Hospital, that private doctors go and perform, use public hospitals to perform but charge patients. And, you know, all that. We are not here to be judgmental, but we are here to say how best then can make us to understand. That's also, that's why the more you explain, the more I then become, gosh, what is this elephant in the room in the Northern Cape that we're dealing with in terms of the mental health? So, and I want to make whoever is going to respond, we're not unfair, we're not judgmental. If we're coming across being hard or harsh to you, we can't help it. It's an emotive sector by its nature, and the subject is an emotive subject in this country. So we really want to have a complete understanding. We have private NGOs. Your empowerment, outreach in ensuring that our people do understand. You bring in some NGOs that are doing the work for you. Are they doing the work for you, or whatever? So. Really made us to understand. That's the problem of a report that is not coming up, which is not explicit, which is general. It creates these challenges. So, if Mr. Link is going to respond, can he please also try and assist us on this matter? Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, everybody around here. Let me start with your part. Honorable Chairperson, and as far as the, fortunately I'm the head of the specialized hospital, as I'm saying, and as far as the relationship with private is concerned, like HUD have indicated, there's a private hospital built opposite the new mental hospital, where one of our psychiatrists, chief psychiatrist, who happens to have signed RWAP approved, is basically working in that facility also, into his RWAP processes. As far as the relationship is concerned, members of the committee, there is no relationship in terms of functionality. I think the HUD was clear that for purposes of understanding the picture of the province, giving projecting those figures, but out of the 12 that they have there, we're not utilizing or not having any support services amongst each other from them. So it's just basically for the purpose of projection. We function with our staffing that you see there as two permanent psychologists, two comm servers, and two interns. That's the people that service the Department of Health, Northern Cape, not plus 12. That's just as far as the picture is concerned. And same with your other NGOs that you have, like Ishudi was saying, you have Yonder, that's a facility that caters for your intellectual incapacity persons. They function autonomous as an institution by themselves. We are now having our OT unit. It builds partnership with them in terms of stimulation programs of our patients. But in terms of any others, in terms of human capacity that we utilize amongst each other, none of the sort. So the picture in terms of mental health is the one that is the nature hospital, specialized hospital in the districts. That is how it goes as far as the presentation is concerned, in the province is concerned. Then I want to speak to the question that was posed about the effort that must be put also in terms of incapacitating your district health also. I think it goes without saying, it should be said, we have our financial constraints. That is why our hospitals only render 72-hour service, not general admission beyond 72 hours, because the whole issue of your capacity constraints in terms of finances. But yes, it's a policy mandate that we know what must roll out, the developmental approach it must achieve. I must hasten to say that I've just shared with my principals about us having opened the achievement that we have set, the new 36-bed ward of state patients. Unfortunately, we had to be very innovative in terms of what we deem trade-offs about how we can achieve the opening of that ward and apply our mind carefully. We have not opened the ward of having the whole challenge of state patients admitted at our facility with additional funding. It's a zero allocation in the financial year 16-17. Yet we have achieved the opening of the 36-bed ward. It's important that, because it talks about currently now we have put to the principals about this is now the current picture, how it looks like. After we have now brought in, the volume have increased now from a 106-bed specialized hospital to 142-bed, and we have our change list that we have shown as to where are the gaps. And we appreciate that we are going to have to go forward in terms of making a case with Treasury in terms of other mechanisms about how we can then source funding so we can identify and then address that gap that has came about, which we have achieved without additional budget. The advocacy groups, the same for it. They may be there in terms of the province established, but there's no concrete relationship in terms of programs that is intertwined or any other type of operational means, how we operate between us and them. That's why the question that came about, explain the staffing levels and so forth, they're operating autonomously there. We just know they are there. And as far as myself is concerned, at least maybe my predecessors and other people will probably speak better than me, but I've never made contact with them per se, given the whole issue about our total silo operations per se. The specialist and the outreach program, we have 5 districts in the province. There's only one district that they're not necessarily servicing, which is the Namaqualand district, because it's quite an outskirts district, and there was challenges about, okay, before you used to service them with your helicopter medical support. But now currently, as and when we go to the nearest district, that is the ZF Ngao district to them, your psychiatrist that is going to outreach basically will be acting, working with the district planning to have to see those patients. But they service on a monthly basis, they service all the 4 districts. It's the only, as the question was about, is the only support that you have from the specialized facility that supports districts? Yes. It's the only means that we have. We must look at how we improve in terms of capacitation of the districts. But currently, that's the dimension that we have currently. It's only the specialized facility that makes sure that you have your psychiatrists going out. Obviously, when they go out, it has its own, obviously, bearing on the direct means of human resource that it actually has to, again, maneuver how we survive on a day-to-day basis. But we have, fortunately, I think for the record, when I started to come to the facility in 2014, just to share that, I've realized there's one exceptional operational way of doing it smart, is that our MDT meets every morning of the day, except for Fridays, given the challenges of bed pressures, to plan that we must not have crisis anywhere, either in the facility or even in the districts. And we take stock about our bed planning, given the pressures of beds throughout the province itself. And that is how we survive. The registrar's training program and how obviously we have to anticipate going forward in terms of the challenge and need that is there. We have 4 accredited Health Profession Council accredited registrar training posts. We have 1 person that is qualifying end of this financial year, other one is going to in the 3rd year, then the other one is coming on board this year. So which means basically we are currently utilizing 2 posts. We're going to have the 3rd one coming on board now. The session that we are trying to plan, I think there's a session that we're planning with executive management, is to then say, look, yes, HOD was saying in the presentation, is saying we're going to have your medical officers come into the specialized facility for capacity building. We also want to be smart and see that how do we then utilize, out of the 4 posts that we have, also be creative about then saying how then the other two posts in a particular financial year through the HPDT grant can then take care of wherever we say that other districts must then be capacitated. So then you have the platform from the WESH, Western Specialized Hospital, registrar training program, at least enabling other districts to be on board so that we can be able to grow around our human resource capacity in terms of specialists. I think my chief director, Mr. Jones, has mentioned about the dedicated mental health budget that may not necessarily have a dedicated mental health budget. Yes, we have a specialized hospital is having its budget, and that is basically explanation for it. District health services will have a budget basically that is integral in terms of your mental health proportion out of it. But it's not necessarily a standalone budget, because I think the question was next to my the members asked about the organogram, because sure, if the organogram is there and it's fully capacitated, then you'll have a dedicated budget that goes into that directorate or chief directorate, whatever it's going to be, for the organogram of the mental health. The intersectoral collaboration, I think, is one area that I must admit we're struggling. From the level of myself as a chief of the specialized facility, working with the program sub deputy director who is coordinating the intersectoral cluster, we have said, look, we have to meet with urgency about the gaps, now that National even have visited us the other day, in terms of assessing the status of the province in mental health. We said it's one area that we're not doing well. We have a number of challenges about state patients and so forth, a number of social, we have the reintegration program that you have to have your mental health patients reintegrated. We do not have the type of support that you want to have a roundtable discussion at the level of the cluster or the social cluster to be able to talk about how to augment social services, augment the social, because you have seen this, the report talks about the numbers of social workers that we have. And that cluster will be able to get at least mitigate on those challenges. But I think that is a gap that we have to work on going forward. The question was about, Chair, from you on give us a sense of the trends or at least in which area of mental health you say is the biggest challenge in terms of whether it's mood disorder, substance abuse, and so on. I'm always saying to my team in particular that you want to be, this question asked from you and others, you want to be as a head of institution from your cuff, not from the cuff, but at least on the fingertips, able to talk to your statistical analysis about understanding your picture of the province. But this is a country problem. There's no national data indicator set for mental health. And this is where our problem lies. So I'm sure, unless I'm convinced otherwise, that other provinces will have different innovative means that they have made, but there's a country, because TB would have a data set, your DHIS. DHIS doesn't necessarily speak to your particular interest that you have raised now. The type of underlying mental illness that is there, the reflection of that, we are trying to do. My chief psychiatrist have explained to me, sometime, they say it's about 2001, there was a national project that was undertaken, and it was the John Tauloha ECW district that was utilized to come up with conceptualizing and did having a national data indicator set to satisfy this question, but it never came to fruition from a national point of view. I think that is how far I can go, not unless there's other than. Thanks, Chair.
And there's one question that has not been answered in terms of the review board. How often do they sit?
Sorry. Thank you very much. Yes, from the mental health review, I just want to give an overview. I've seen the questions here, and I'll answer. This will answer all the questions here. In the Northern Cape, the mental health review board was established in April last year, started functioning in July, and with four members and another one that came aboard. So at the present moment, we are five. The Act says you cannot have less than three nor more than five to constitute a board. So we are in line with the Act. We are five members. The composition of the board, we have two mental health nurse practitioners, we have two community members, and we have one legal representative on the board. So we cover what is required in the Act as well. Yes, the Act says we are appointed by the MEC, which is so, and we are accountable to the MEC. We report to the MEC, which is also that fact. Coming to the performance, the performance evaluation of the members, that was one of the questions that was posed. Yeah, the performance, you know, there's no set performance, but what the board has embarked in from the beginning is to actually do a study on the minutes. Now, to review one document, that is your involuntary document, to review one, it's 18 pages. It takes 25 to 30 minutes. We must just take note that the board does not rubber stamp the the health establishment management's decisions. You have to see that this patient is really does need admission. So you have to go through those 18 pages. That is for your involuntary admissions alone. So those are the forms that goes to the High Court after coming through to the review board to the High Court. And one thing I can mention here too, since last year, since I've been appointed for the past 10 months, we haven't had not one query from the courts, nor any cases against the department yet. I'm not saying it will never happen, I'm just saying up till now. So actually that was a plus for us, knowing that we are on the right track. That is reviewing. The board works 40 hours a month. So how did the board split? The board split their days. They counted out that we work mostly 40 hours a month, 10 hours per week. Mainly we work on a Monday and Tuesday. But also the Act allows us to do our own business. So if we see that the need is there on another day, we change our days. It's not to say it is set in, a policy that we will just work on a Monday and a Tuesday, but it serves better because we do attend the hospital's multidisciplinary team meeting on a Monday morning, and on a Monday, most of the case, the forms and things comes through to the board of the admissions. I must just mention here too, we do receive all the admission forms from Kimberley Hospital and from West End Hospital. We do have a challenge from the districts because what happens now, because of the lack of sufficient beds for patients at West End Hospital for the involuntary cases, some of the 72-hour assessments are kept longer in the general hospital. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they have the same service that West End can offer, now there is where the problem is if you find that you do not have district teams and things. But our MEC and our HAD said, we are... all these things are being addressed. I must also mention we met with our MEC, and a lot of our issues that we wanted to raise, which was that one was the 72 hours, and the other one was the bed matter of the involuntary cases that cannot be processed, and that leads to an early discharge of a patient, perhaps, which shouldn't happen. But then what the board has also insisted is that if they are discharged and they find they can be discharged, they should then really be linked to the clinic where there's follow-ups. So that is happening. And also what the board does is training. We do training. One of the things we were very proud about, because all our forms and things were starting to become complete and correctly. And now our next challenge came with a bang in February when the new regulations, to the general of the Act, is new regulations. So that is another challenge for retraining, and we are busy embarking on that at the moment. But it is a big challenge for the board, especially. And yes, if you tell me about the hours, yes. No province can have one board, not even if you increase the hours. No province. I'm telling you now from the bottom of my heart, I'm a chair lady, and I know what is required from the Act and things. You cannot do it. You cannot, because there's too many things. Coming to the advocacy groups, yes, what we do from the board side is when we go to the clinic or the hospital or health establishments, which we visit, then we do advocacy as far as we can. We market the board so that they are familiar, that there's a board that can see to their problems, and we also look at the rights that's violated and so forth, and we also speak about the illnesses, especially the ones that the board picks up on the assessment of the reviewing of the documents. So, yes, we're doing, but it's done in pockets, you know, as where we go, and then we do it. We do, on our year plan, the board can only visit the districts once a year, each district. So at least there is the service that we give. What happens is that we have a system that they forward their documents. And especially when patients are admitted to West End Hospital, the documents come via West End Hospital. But the other documents, they usually send by fax and things.
Okay.
I wanted
to make a suggestion, because it's the first province that has come with the chairperson of the board, and the temptation will be then that. But you have raised something that we will have to look into it as the committee, and that touches into a question to the political leadership of Northern Cape. And why I want you to stop there. We've got the picture. And then we'll then put a process in place on how to. But I want the MEC to answer the question. If you say it's the first time in 10 months for Northern Cape to have a board.
No. The Northern Cape has had a board since 2005.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, since the Act was.
Okay. So, but you are a new board.
Yes.
You are the new board.
Yes.
In the first 10 months.
Yes, but
no, that's fine.
I must also just mention there are two members that was in the old board, you know, the previous board. So the continuity of board work goes on.
No, I think what is a plus in all the challenges in Northern Cape is that we had a board represented in the delegation in terms of the chair. But thank you very much, ma'am, for that. We'll still come back on what then we'll do as the committee in relation to the issues of boards. MEC, I think if you can switch off your mic, ma'am.
Okay.
Actually, I thought Dr. Mabona, as the infrastructure chief director, will just also touch just for a minute, Chair, if you permit.
Thanks. The question as to whether the 136 million allocated this year is inclusive of equipment, it is not. It's only for construction purposes. Upon completion of the facility, practical completion in November this year, we have a period up to a maximum of 6 months for commissioning processes. And in that period, we'll be going out to procure equipment, which the budget 2018-19 April, when it's made available in April, we'll start paying for the equipment. The works completion period would fall immediately after the practical completion. But as we all know, the practical completion means the facility is ready for occupation. But the works completion is due to the size of the facility would take a very long period.
I'm a bit quiet because you took long in this project. Yes. And in planning, it is my understanding that when you plan any facility, and I'm not unfair, I've worked at Doranginza. Doranginza was extended, and it stood there as a white elephant for more than 5 years. And when we asked the department then of the Cape Provincial Administration, they said, no, we didn't plan. How do you plan for only four walls? And you don't plan for equipment, you don't plan for HR, you don't plan for this, but it's fine. We will have to look into that at some time, because it then means the extension, the extension time for that project to be completed is still going to be a problem. We'll talk with the Department of Health on that. We don't want to labor it. We don't want to waste your time. It's something that really we will have to look into it with interest in terms of it. We have been quiet, not being quiet really, but it has always been our concern, the extent of this project for mental health in the Northern Cape, because it has taken more than. Maybe at an appropriate time, as the committee, the MEC and the acting HOD, and I see you don't have a clinical person in Northern Cape, you have to acting this and acting that. A person, maybe with the infrastructure directorate, there is something that we'll have to make to understand about what are the challenges about this project. It can be good people. I'm saying this as on behalf of the committee, as we're all health activists. It can be. It can be that we're told that you have planned, you are still going to procure for equipment. It can be. It can be. We will then at an appropriate time we'll have to look into that MEC, because it's telling us a story that is not is going down well with us at all. MEC, I think it's your time. Unfortunately, I don't want to say you've got 5 minutes to respond, but it's fine if you can just give us an overview and some of the. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, let me just from the beginning emphasize the fact that we really respect the committee. I noted the concerns of the chair that maybe when we compile our report, it's like we're doing it just for the sake of doing it. We really take the business of this committee very seriously. That is why at times when we put together these presentations, sometimes we'll say, are we putting too much information? Is this the right approach? So, you know, in our own corners, we also battle to really say what is it that we really need to put in. Sometimes you think you are on the right track, like I said earlier, until you have missed it. But we apologize for the confusion that might be created by the content of the report. And we promise that it won't happen again, Chair. But we are here to be guided. That is why we came here. So maybe just one matter that was raised by Honorable Member, I think it's Honorable Member before Nkonzo, around the issue of traditional, the representation of traditional leaders. I think it is an eye-opener for all of us, as the board, and the department, that maybe we need to, because in our previous engagement 3 weeks back, we did have a discussion around the number of board members, which obviously is dictated too by legislation. So in our meeting, we did conclude and commit that we are going to look at the possibility of possibly coming, if it is possible to come with another board, you know, given the vastness of the province, or because one simple alternative was to say, okay, let's increase the hours, but it also goes with effectiveness, efficiency, because the mind can only take as much. So we don't really want to overburden them, but instead we agreed that the administration will look into the possibility of exploring all avenues to make it easy for the board to function, because if they fail, the department has failed. So we can't gamble with the lives of our people. So it's something that is receiving the attention of the department. One other issue around that the chair just raised now, around the possibility of the hospital becoming a white elephant, it's something that when we met during our budget bilaterals with Treasury, we did present this as a budget pressure. that must really be taken seriously, because otherwise it boils back to what one can call bed planning. You know, to have a facility and then you don't plan for its operationalization. It's something that we of the view will even before the completion of the hospital, we will have to in our midterm review present a very strong case again to Treasury to say, can we do it, so that as we complete the building, we already embark on a process of procuring equipment, depending on the availability, if they avail the funds to us, because there's no way it can be that we build a facility that will not be utilized. So we have noted the concern of the committee, and we commit that we will really attend to it. One other issue that the committee raised, the honourable members raised, was around the intersectoral coordination. When Mr. Link spoke, it really emphasized what the concern of the committee to say. He never really interacted with these other partners, which creates a problem, because as partners we must really have that kind of interaction, and it's something that we are going to correct. The issue of the acting, I think Honorable Mahlalela was actually trying to assist me, but in a way he also further said that it can be that given the responsibility of appointing HODs, you know, it can be that we have an HOD acting for almost, I think it's since last year now, last year July or June, in October. We've been having an acting HOD, and it's not a very nice picture. I will convey the message to the head of the executive, and because it's something that we spoke about even last week, to say, when are we appointing? You know, with other posts that we mentioned, of acting chief director for what, acting CEO of AKH, we have advertised them last week. So the address will be closing in the next 2 weeks, and then the appointment will be done. So for sure, when we come back here, the CEO and the acting chief director will have been chief director will have been appointed for infrastructure. But with the HOD, I will raise it with the head of the executive, and I do believe that there will be something positive coming out of it. But another issue is the issue of Mane Dipitso. You know, Mane Dipitso, I think there was some, I don't know what to call it, but it is really uncalled for. I mean, we know how renaming processes are conducted, you know, naming or renaming processes are conducted, you know, person is still alive, and, you know, you might just, you know, do something that is not really good for the integrity of the state. So it's something that we have noted. It happened a long time ago, but I don't think now it will ever happen, you know, if one is still there. The chair earlier on said, not during the administration of this committee. So I'll say also not in my lifetime. It won't happen because it's really uncalled for. It can't happen. If you look at the geographical name change committees, it's highly forbidden. So it's something that we unfortunately we can't do anything about it because it's there. But for those that are coming, it won't happen. So chair, like I said, in closing, we really apologize for maybe not really hitting the right buttons, because if you give a generic presentation, it has elements of where one might say something is being hidden. You know, there's dishonesty around the health issues, and that's not the intention. We will never, ever mislead the committee. The information that we give here, we give it honestly. It's just that sometimes it might not, the way it's presented or the way we coin it in the presentation might be a bit, look like it's misleading. But thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. And we don't take any offense. We will never. We don't have any reason to take any offense when issues are raised. We are here to account, because we are working for communities, we are working for the public. So rest assured, Chair, no matter, I don't think you are hard on us anyway. I didn't pick it up. So if ever somebody is taking offense in my team, then he's tired of working, Chair. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. We have identified areas where we want a detailed information. We will still want where are you most hard hit? It happens, Nunzana, we are former health workers. We know what is in the medical, how many we've admitted of people that have hypertension and just making it. So it doesn't need a national picture, fine, that we know. The National Department of Health is here, we've been talking about that. But when we want issues from a province, We know exactly that you are then supposed to, you can't tell me that there are no records of who is admitted and of what in a mental institution and the causal factors of that. Is he a drug addict? Is he bipolar? What is the situation in the, you are supposed to be having that in your department. That's what we want. The national picture, fine. It is the responsibility of the Department of Health to respond on that. Two, we maybe for in moving forward, feel free to communicate to the Secretariat. If it is a template that you are, because at the end of the day, you are coming to the National Department of Health, if it's the template of reporting that you may be, but we do pick up that provinces, they respond differently, or the outline of their presentation is, it differs from one province to another. And the issues that we raise, there are issues that we do pick up that there is a weakness in terms of how provinces make presentation. I'll go back to my earlier remarks. You are not here for the sake of coming here. From here, when we then at a particular time to go to Northern Cape, we go back. They were here. There is, so we are not going to go into a province blindfolded. We must know that the other reason and the purpose of you coming here. So at a particular time, when we are going to conduct an oversight in Northern Cape, if we think as the committee that it is important to zoom into, have a dedicated time in around the mental health, we must know so that we are able to make you to account. You were in front of the committee, you said this, and this is what is happening on the ground. We have conducted an oversight. We understand that what at times what is on paper is not what is happening on the ground. And that's what always makes us to be edgy. We're not edgy because we think that we are miss-know-all. We're edgy because we understand that this government, led by the African National Congress, has got a program. And that program, people that are to implement those policies, those programs, it's not the National Department of Health. It's not National Parliament. The role of National Parliament is to ensure that that is happening. And if it is not happening, obviously, we will throw a tantrum or we will be said. And the majority of us here are former health workers for the own information. So we're not asking about things that we have never been in the cold face. And I always say, if you have never been in the cold face of health sector, at times you will think that we are a bit petty. We're not. We are trying to make you to understand that it is those little things that managers, go back and read what the NDP is saying in terms of the health sector and what has been eating the health sector. It's about management and it's about leadership. And as this parliament,
led by the African National Congress, we won't be apologetic in ensuring that leadership in all areas, infrastructure, clinical, administration, will come in, because at the end, you are the people that are making us to enable to really look into that. So we will reflect on issues on that. But please, we hope when you come back, the time frame, we want all this info. You are going to come back to us and outline this. We'll be ready in the next 3 months. You are to be back to take us through where you have. We may have gone back to you, or we'll go back in terms of fiscal oversight. So we do hope that you are in a sector that is very emotive and sensitive, and majority of people that are serviced by public health sectors are ordinary people whom we are representing in terms of public. The other area that you have not talked to, and we haven't asked a question, when you are to make submissions, the impact of unemployment, of high rate of unemployment in terms of the mental health. I hope you remember our theme in this budget vote. I'm not going to remind you of what was our theme as the portfolio committee in terms of ensuring that our people are part of the economy. Because they're not going to be able to be part of the economy and be active if they are mentally ill. So it's really going to be very important that we take this subject, which falls within the ambit of the non-communicable disease. It's going to be very important, the impact of high rate of unemployment. And now, thank you very much. Oh, okay.
Maybe let's take advantage that the department is here and ask them whether, in terms of infrastructure, whether they have fixed the pipes, that there was blood coming from one of the hospitals running through the streets of Kimberley or Kruman. Because remember, Chair, it was on the news and it was an issue where everybody was interested. And up until now, we didn't get the report. Let's get the report, Chair.
Can I be defensive? Can I come to their defense? When we had a bilateral with the appropriations at the time, I think they responded, Honorable Ndaba. They did. We asked the same question. we asked the same question. The question was asked at the time, and it was here. Yes. So. It shows that we do have a passion, but at least I do have that responsibility of coming to their defense when I think that as members we are a bit safe. We will go back, but we'll make a follow up on those. Thank you very much. And she was trying to make us feel free to break the ice. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.